I don't know how many of you noticed, but Mark Woodson, Connie's son, wrote that piece. Thank you. I always think of him at Christmas time, and he still finds a way to be part of our lives around now, doesn't he? Love that. Thank you. We continue in our series about activities preparing us for Christmas. And I get music. And then I immediately thought of you guys and thought, what in the world am I doing up here? Yet I like music. I love music. I love to sing. Made a living at it for a while, believe it or not. So I guess I know a little something about it. So I titled my sermon, What's in a Song? Plenty. Who hasn't shed a tear or two watching old Christmas movies on TV this season? Not into old Christmas movies? How about Hallmark commercials? Drysdales pulling wagons in the snow. Beautiful new cars in the snow. More beautiful new cars in the snow. Children in need. Animals in need. Even Target and its dog want you to give in order to make the world a better place. What do these and perhaps most commercials all have in common? There is a musical component driving them all. It's the music that moves us. It touches our souls. And yes, it is the music that sells. Or at the very least, helps sell their message. And fortunately or not, it gets us to buy stuff. Unless, of course, you were fortunate enough to buy that new car in the snow, and in that case, congratulations. Will you pray with me? Lord God, we just ask that you open our hearts and our minds and our ears to understand and hear what it is you want to tell us today. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Now this sermon is not about what we purchase or don't purchase for Christmas for ourselves or for others. Although, if it helps us think about reevaluating some of those things, I'll take that as a bonus. Let's hear the scripture this morning, Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, 8 through 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly a great heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. 7 short verses. The first 5, 8 through 12, proclaim the arrival of God's greatest gift to us. The birth of his Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The last 2, 13 and 14, light up the night sky with God's heavenly host, proclaiming that the arrival of the baby Jesus brings glory to God in the highest. That's in the highest. In other words, there is no higher glory to God than this. This is the greatest glory to God there is. In the very same moment, that same heavenly host proclaims that because this greatest glory to God, this birth of Jesus Christ, there is peace on earth. 7 short verses. As I reflect on them, I am reminded of just about every Christmas song or musical work that I know. Just as the verses remind me of the songs remind me of the verses. I suspect it is the same with all of you, or most of you anyway. It's kind of the way God put us together. The advertisement people certainly know it, and they count on it. Christmas hymns, songs, and musical works touch our hearts and our souls in a way that words cannot do. So let's try something a little different. I don't know if it'll work or not, but what the heck. Let's take a moment. Close your eyes if you want to. Take a deep breath, maybe two, to settle yourself. Let your mind and your heart be still. And in the quiet of yourself, I want you to think of your favorite Christmas hymn, Christmas song. Can you hear it? Are you singing it? Has your song taken you somewhere? To a special celebration? Perhaps a special performance? A special time in your life, a special place? Anyone with you? Are you alone? With a person or two that's special? Are you in a huge community of faith? What are you feeling? Happiness? Perhaps sadness? Peacefulness? Disappointment? Joyfulness? Wonder? Awe, love. When you're ready, you can open your eyes. If you fell asleep, it's time to wake up now. On the off chance that some of you have gone to a dark place or a dark time in your life, see me after church on the patio, or a deacon or a Stephen minister. We are available to speak with you and pray if the need arises. So what happened? Anybody go anywhere? Love that. Okay. And how did you feel?
Joyful.
Okay. Anybody else go anywhere, or what were you feeling? Connie. Love that. I go there too. Marie?
Different renditions of Joy to the World, whether it's with this choir, with the kids, with the master chorale, just glorious music everywhere.
Different renditions of Joy to the World here with master chorale. Let's take a couple more. Barbara? You don't what? Oh, okay. Nope. Doesn't matter. Love that. Rachel?
Every year at this time and around Easter, I put in my CDs of Messiah, and I go
Reliving the whole story in music. I love that. One more back over here. Children want to know, what is a Bing Crosby? Uh-huh. Thank you. I better quit. Jeff's screaming at me right now. We all feel something. We all go somewhere. We are with the people we love or in a community making joyful noise to our Lord. I'd also suggest that Christmas hymns and songs call us to action in declaring the truth of the gospel. They call us to live in this world as transformed people through Jesus Christ. Everybody get that one? Okay, go back to your favorite hymn or song again. Think specifically about the words. Do the words call you to do something? What is it? I'll name a few. Worship. Praise. Follow. Behold. Rejoice. Do the words call you to live differently in this world for Jesus' sake? What are the words? How do they tell you to live? I'm set free. Love one another. Be calm. Be at peace. Now, we cannot possibly talk about everyone's favorite, so instead I picked O Holy Night, because it's one of my favorites, and because I'm doing the sermon, and because of that single note that Alicia sings so clearly, cleanly, purely, that it goes right into my heart every time. I am filled up with the glory of it. So I'm going to read some lines from the song. Listen for the words that call us to action, that call us to live as transformed people in this world for Jesus' sake. You may hear different things than I do. That's a good thing. I start with, "Till he appeared and the soul felt its worth." Transformed. Feel our worth. A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices. Be thrilled. Hope. Rejoice. Fall on your knees. Hear the angel voices. Drop. Fall to your knees. Hear. Listen. Led by the light of faith serenely beaming, we are led by our faith to our Jesus. Be at peace. Serenely beaming. That's candlelight on Christmas Eve here, with the light glowing on each of your faces. Serenely beaming. At peace. Here come the wise men from Orient land. Follow. Come, be aware. The King of Kings lay thus in lowly manger. Baby Jesus is the King of Kings. In all our trials, born to be our friend. Jesus came for us in our pain, in our heartache. He knows our need. To our weakness is no stranger. Jesus knows us. He knows us really, really well. Behold your King, before him lowly bend. Behold, see, humbly bow down. Truly he taught us to love one another. Learn, love. His law is love, his gospel is peace. Live differently in this world for Jesus' sake. Chains shall break, for the slave is our brother. Be set free to love. Sweet hymns of joy and grateful chorus we raise. Be joyful, be grateful, sing. Let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord, O praise his name forever. Praise the Lord and never stop. His power and glory evermore proclaim. I'll take that the Presbyterian way. Chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. A final thought. I came across a small magazine article called Christmas Truce. It was written by John Buchanan. It briefly tells the story from the book by Stanley Weintraub titled Silent Night, the story of the World War I Christmas Truce. Many of you have probably heard it. It bears repeating. In 1914, the Germans and the British were fighting from trenches along the French and Belgian border. There was about 50, maybe to 100 feet of no man's land in between. It was a horrible place to be. As Christmas approached, the soldiers on both sides received packages from home. The Germans actually got Christmas trees with lights that lit up. As Christmas Eve got closer, the shooting slowed down and finally it stopped. No orders were given. Everything just stopped. And in the silence, the Germans yelled out, "We've got a present coming your way," and everybody thought it was a grenade. But instead, it was a boot full of sausage. The British returned their gift of plum pudding. Then songs were sung by both sides. Then after a long silence, the Germans began singing Silent Night, Holy Night. Everyone joined in. On Christmas Day, the truce held, with both sides meeting in the middle to exchange more gifts. Some of them even played soccer together. A week or so later, the shooting resumed. And there were 6,000 deaths every day for the next 46 months. Weintraub reflects that the Christmas truce, quote, remains a potent symbol of stubborn humanity within us. And Buchanan ends the article with this, and I quote, "The Christmas truce is almost too good to be true. And yet it is no more unrealistic than the angel announcing that a newborn baby is the Savior. And it is no more naive than our faith that the birth means that peace is always possible and even close at hand. I guess you never know where a Christmas song will take you. And wherever it does, be ready for the Holy Spirit to do something when you get there. Perhaps through these songs and the music, we get a glimpse of what the kingdom of God truly looks like. May we all continue to live more and more into His kingdom right here and right now. Amen.